Like when I went to my first support group, I was like, oh, I can't do all this. I'm being classed as disabled. I don't like it. I don't want to be disabled. I don't see myself as disabled. Then the woman went, look, you can't do the things you did before. You're disabled. Get over it. We all are. You just have to live your life as a disability.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. At 16, Rich Morley was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. By 30, he was medically retired and living on benefits. Today, he's fully recovered and supporting others to turn their own lives around. How did he do it? Through the healing power of Tai Chi. This is a remarkable story, a lesson in never giving up, even when the medical profession has given up on you. It's about discovering what is possible beyond medical intervention, and it's about harnessing the power of belief to turn your life around. Now, we've all seen the effects of debilitating illness on friends and family. The thought of losing mobility or the ability to do simple tasks is right up there on the I don't want to go there list. My guest, Rich Morley, was in that place at the height of his teenage years. He started having problems with coordination, pain, and even falling over. After a lot of tests and exploration with doctors, it was decided he had fibromyalgia, and there was nothing they could do. Fibro, as it is known, is an autoimmune fatigue syndrome, and it causes pain in the muscles, ligaments and tendons. It has a wide range of different symptoms, and Rich experienced most of them. This meant he got to university a bit later than his peers. He had to drop out before his last year and return a year later to take exams. On leaving, his condition got even worse, and by the time he was 30, he was on every drug possible from antidepressants to super strong painkillers. He was forced to give up work and face the rest of his life totally dependent on drugs and income support. The turning point came when a friend suggested he try Tai Chi. Without motivation, it was very unlikely he would get to the class, but somehow he found the will to make the effort. Now, if there was ever a divine push, this was it. Not only did Rich find motivation to attend the classes, but he also found the right teacher to give him the help he needed. His first few classes were a struggle. He had to sit down a lot, and the day after he'd have to sleep to recover. But there was something in it for him that kept him going, and after class he felt better, just for 10 minutes or so at first, but it was the best he had felt for years, and that feeling motivated him to keep returning. Gradually this led to home practice, beginning with just 2 minutes a day and eventually building up to many hours. Within 2 years of starting Tai Chi, Rich went from considering wheelchairs to riding a mountain bike. Our conversation is an insight into the power of Tai Chi and its history. We've all seen the films or images of people practicing this slow movements of Tai Chi, but the truth behind the discipline is very different. It is a fusion of martial arts and Taoist theology, and is a fighting discipline as well as a meditation practice. Mastering the discipline has changed Rich Morley's life and given him an interest that goes way beyond just getting healthy. Today, Rich is an international Tai Chi instructor, and his training has taken him to a level beyond the capabilities of his original teacher. He's learnt some advanced techniques that, when applied, can give the impression of almost superhuman qualities. But his main drive is to help people with debilitating illness to overcome the limitations of modern diagnosis. And as you heard from our intro, that's a bit of an uphill struggle. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Rich Morley as we discover his journey towards a healthy life. So, Rich, thank you so much for being here today. Whereabouts in the country are you? I very rarely talk to people in the UK.
All right. I am in Wakefield in West Yorkshire.
Ah, yes, I can hear it in the voice.
Middle of the country.
I can not hear it in the voice.
Not as quite broad as some people, but yes.
My American friends will love your accent. You're going to get fan mail, I tell you. So look, Rich, I know you're into breath work. I know you've had some health issues that you've overcome in your life, and I know you've had a journey. I know you had a journey all told. So where did it all begin for you? What's the story? How did it all start?
Well, I'll rewind slightly. So when I was 16 or 17, I started to become ill. My health rapidly declined. I lost all my energy, which you'd expect to have more of when you're that age, quite frankly. And I went to the doctors and they couldn't work out what's wrong with me. So for 6 years, I got worse, went back to the doctors repeatedly, and only by chance did they get diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Wow. Which it's is a terrible age to have that, isn't it, really? Because when you're 16, you should be chasing women. You know, it's like that.
Yeah, exactly. I still did my best, but yeah.
But especially with the energy, you can't catch them.
No.
It must have been tough going through puberty and having being ill, that's what I can say.
No, it was hard. It was definitely hard. I mean, I wasn't so bad as I got then, but essentially I got diagnosed, fortunately, but then I was told they couldn't do anything for me. So I got to university a bit later than all my friends, a couple of years later, was doing my best, and then my health started to really sort of decline.
So for the sake of my audience, I mean, I've heard it called fibro, I've heard it called various bits and pieces. Mm. What is fibromyalgia? And isn't it something, sorry to say this, I only know women with fibromyalgia. I have never heard of a man with it.
Yeah. It seems that it's a smaller percentage of men get it. But the trouble is, if you get it when you're younger, it makes it much worse.
Okay.
So essentially, much like ME, it's a fatigue syndrome, so you have no energy. But this is particularly pernicious because it causes great pain all over your body, which affects the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. But it moves around, so you can never get used to it. It can be in your shoulder for 2 hours, then all of a sudden your back and your shoulder, then all of a sudden your leg. Your body stiffens up, so you can't move. You get terrible headaches. My legs would collapse under me. There's like about 10 or 11 different effects from it, and I had most of them, quite frankly.
Wow, that's nasty.
Yeah. So anyway, by the time I got into my last year at university, things got so bad I had to drop out and do my exams a year later. And then my hands were so stiff and I couldn't use them so well, I had to have a scribe to actually do the writing for me of my exams, which was a bit unusual. And then my health got even worse. It got better for a bit, started working, got medically retired from a job because I was so ill. And I ended up living on sickness benefits. My life was ruined.
Age were you at that time? Well, how old were you?
By that time, I'd got to, I was about 30 by that time.
Wow.
Yeah. And I tried everything. I tried the drugs the doctors could offer me. They weren't very helpful.
I'm guessing the solution they have tends to be steroid-based.
They tried many, many things. At that point, they were offering me antidepressants because they would help me to... apparently, the antidepressants helped to raise the pain threshold, so the painkillers they were giving me would work more, but I just found myself...
So basically what you have is like this whole process, this chemical cocktail to make you kind of feel better, but doesn't actually heal you, I take it.
No. And I was in a sandwich shop and I found myself singing, which was a little confusing. And I'm like, what's going on here? I didn't even know what was going on. The drugs were affecting me so much. So I realized that that wasn't where I needed to be going. I'm just about giving up on everything. And a friend suggested I try Tai Chi.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I didn't have a motivation to go. I hoped Maxine, my friend, would come with me and help me get there and feel good about it. But it was on a Saturday and she could never get there. And I had no motivation to do anything. But at the very last minute, I dragged myself there to class one day. Fortunately, I found a great teacher. Now, one of the things that most people don't realize about Tai Chi is there's a lot of Tai Chi instructors out there, but mainly it's just moving around slowly, and it's pretty good for you. But authentic Tai Chi does much more than that. It used to be the highest, well, it is still the highest level of martial art, and was only taught in China to the elite bodyguards of the Chinese royal family.
Oh, wow. See, I always thought of it as a breathing exercise. I didn't think it was a martial art.
Absolutely not. As I say, it was the highest level. When China fell, no one wanted people with the elite skills anymore. And because Tai Chi masters lived like three times as long as everyone else, then everyone started to pay the Tai Chi masters to teach them it for health. And then over the years, it filtered down into the West and people started to see it being good for you. But it led to lots of...
between Tai Chi and Qigong?
Qigong means moving and breathing, essentially, to create energy, health and stuff. There are various types of Qigong. Some are medical Qigong. Mm. Some are for boosting health and energy. Some are for longevity. There's about 3,000 different types of Qigong. Whereas Tai Chi does all of that. It involves breathing and moving, but with it comes the incredible martial arts skills and the even more robust health than you get from Qigong. I went to that, to my teacher, Colin, and, you know, I tried my best. I staggered around. I had to sit down a lot. But I felt a little bit better when I finished the class. So, you know, I had no motivation to do anything. But I had to go to bed for a day after my first class. But I dragged myself in the week after. And I persevered a little bit at a time because that's really all I could do.
What drove you to that? Because, I mean, like, you know, you're going to bed after doing a class. Mm-hmm. Most people would go, I've had enough of that.
Yeah, totally. I found something in it. I just, as I say, when I'd finished the class, I just felt a little tiny, tiny bit better than I had in a long time. And it didn't last for long, maybe 10 minutes. But I was like, I'll try that again and see.
Hmm.
So, and it was a 2-hour class, so it was very grueling. But
that is a long class, because most classes are only 45 minutes to an hour, aren't they?
Certainly. Well, it was a serious class, and I couldn't do very much. For instance, my development was so bad, I actually tried to just sit up straight in a chair without leaning back against it.
Right.
And I could manage about 30 seconds without having to go, ugh. So I was in an idle 2 and 8, but I just persevered. You know, I could practice for a minute or two at a time, and then I could practice 5 minutes. And then I got a book with the form movements in it, and I got a friend to photocopy it, and I put them all around my wall so I could follow it, because I had brain fog and hard time focusing and following.
Right.
So I just practiced some more. So I built myself up, being able to practice, train for like 2 minutes a day, so eventually I was training for multiple hours a day after a couple of years. You know, I went from thinking I was going to be in a wheelchair to 2 years after taking up Tai Chi, shattering my collarbone because I was doing drop-offs on a mountain bike in some woods because my life had changed that much. And before I was ill, I was the world's least coordinated person. So I couldn't have done any of it, even if I'd have been well. So you can see the amazing power of it all.
So you ended up, within 2 years, able to ride a mountain bike.
Yes. Crazily as well. Which takes
coordination, balance, which you never had, and strength.
All of those things. And the more I persevered, the further I went. And then I realized that, you know, I trained as a filmmaker before I got ill. And went to film school, which had always been my dream. And then I was like, you know what? I really want to teach Tai Chi and help more, and Tai Chi and Qigong meditation, and help more people, because I found such great benefit in it.
Yeah.
And fortunately, as I say, having the right teacher, I got another teacher who was his wife. She helped me to come on, and I trained really hard. And like, you know, it took me six and a half years to qualify as an advanced level instructor in Tai Chi.
Wow.
Yeah, nowadays I'm an international level Tai Chi instructor and martial artist, so you can see
how from Wakefield.
Yes, funnily enough, no silk pajamas.
So, where does it go from here? I mean that's an amazing journey. I mean you were on you know, sort of like medically retired. What are you now? Are you not medically retired anymore?
Certainly not. No.
Amazing.
So it changed pretty rapidly for me once I managed to turn my life around, and then I just went further. Unfortunately, I managed to make connections around the world with higher level people, and I've made some great friends, but I've also managed to progress, as I say, my skill set and learn more and more. And the great thing about Tai Chi is there's never an end to it. You can always keep refining it and getting better at it. for health and the martial arts. So, you know, you can still be using the martial arts in your 80s effectively.
So is Tai Chi, I mean, is this a meditation, a physical movement? Well, I mean, how to try and get
all of
and
it.
Give us, try, all right, well, try and give us a little bit more. I mean,
right.
Try and so give us the benefit of your international skill base in so that surely. People can really get a sense of it.
Yes. So Tai Chi, essentially, you can class it as moving meditation because your mind is, you know, many people think just meditation is just stilling of the mind, but a lot of meditation is developing refined focus over time. So Tai Chi is mindfulness and moving meditation because you're mindful of every movement and every part of your body. What you find with real Tai Chi is what they're married together is the finest of the martial arts with the Taoists, China's spiritual sages, really, with their understandings of the internal life of the human body and right. the internal energetic systems of the human body.
Right.
So they put all of this, a few people at the time put this stuff together. So you found a supercharged martial art. So Tai Chi, its real name is Tai Chi Chuan. A simple translation of it is supreme ultimate boxing because it, one, it's the highest level, but also it's bringing together the yin and yang qualities of the yin and yang symbol, the marrying of the two. So it's perceived to be the quintessence of the essence of the universe, they say. So, yeah. So it strengthens you, but it repowers you. It allows you to develop more energy, vitality, and strength. And as a martial art, it uses very, very different things. It changes the way the body works, so you're more powerful than everyone else.
Because it's interesting, when I think of martial art, you know, you think of karate and you think of think of kung fu. They're explosive martial arts. And whenever I see Tai Chi, my image of it is a bunch of Chinese men doing simple movements on the banks of the river. So it's like it seems like a very slow thing.
Ah, that's interesting. You see, it's only ever done slowly, so it can be refined and you can control the energy and the movements through the body and make everything perfect. The stuff you see, the people moving slowly, is only one side of it. There are actually fast forms.
Okay.
And once you take the brakes off, you can move at any speed because you're letting go of all the strictures and tensions. If you imagine your body like, or my body at the time especially, like a very refined watch with a great mechanism that's been designed, that has been made a couple of hundred years ago, and it's the best watch you can get. But over time, it's become gritted and silted up, and there's bits in the mechanisms. It doesn't work. Tai Chi practice is about getting rid of all of that, getting rid of all the strictures and holdings and tensions and body armorings and, you know, all the emotions we carry in our system and all of these other things, and getting rid of all that. And so your body becomes clear. You're not held up by... So a lot of people, you know, we're fighting gravity all the time. We're walking around, everyone's misaligned, you know. So we have all these holding patterns and we use stabilizing muscles to hold us up, movement muscles to hold us up and stabilize. We use our bodies all wrong, quite frankly. Now in Tai Chi, we found a way to put the body back into its natural state as it should be, which is much more powerful than you would think it.
It's interesting because I read somewhere a long time ago that one of the big reasons that a lot of people, older people, lose their balance as they age is from a life of wearing shoes.
Right, yeah.
Because the muscles and the bones in the feet don't get exercised or learn to keep you balanced.
Yeah, that's one thing, but naturally over time people lose all of that. Balance really, and as they get more out of shape as well. You see a lot of old people are hunching forwards, then the muscles in their chest shorten, they can't straighten up. The head weighs 14 pounds, it's like a bowling ball taking you down. Every inch of variance of your head forwards doubles the load on your lower back, but it also means that when you trip, you're going down, you know. So Tai Chi rebuilds that balance, certainly. Shoes don't help us. Our feet used to naturally move around on different surfaces. So the ankles were flexible and the foot would move, but with shoes and walking on concrete, which is not good for you. We have generally lost all that.
Well, as a runner, you see, I've started to run over the last 5 or 6 years, and I really now notice the importance of the flexibility in my feet and how important that is. Having taken up yoga in the last year, I really feel the difference in terms of my running because of my feet are so much more flexible.
It's great. So, So for instance, like, I don't know if you've ever seen any of my videos, but like I have videos which show the difference in things. Like I have a video where I have a rugby player running at me while I'm standing on one leg from about 10 foot away. And when he collides with my hands, he comes to a dead stop and I do not move.
Oh, we must actually show that video. That sounds really interesting. I must put that video somewhere.
Yeah, it's on my YouTube channel, Rich Morley Tai Chi. There's a few other ones. The saying about real Tai Chi is it either looks fake or like magic because people can't believe some of the things.
Oh, wow. You're going to get some converts out of this, that's for sure.
go on.
So look, this is about passion and about purpose. Mm. And clearly, before Tai Chi, you had zero passion because you were just existing.
Barely.
How did life change when you suddenly took up Tai Chi? What can take us through that process of change? What opened up for you?
Well, it was like a whole new world started to open up for me, really. You know, I'd lost all my drive. I'd lost all of my joie de vivre, all my will to live, everything.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was on my way into a wheelchair.
And this was because you were 30 when all this happened, weren't you, really? Yeah. So you lost your 20s. You lost your 20s, effectively.
Yeah, you know, I had some fun and I had some better days than others. But yeah, mainly I didn't get to do all of the great things I could have done with my life in that time. And I felt my life was over, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I was just like drinking a lot to help with the pain management.
Yeah.
Sitting around and, you know, you don't get any deep restorative sleep with fibromyalgia. So you wake up constantly. So your body never fixes itself. So no point in going to bed because I wasn't sleeping. I was always in a light dreaming state. It was just a living nightmare, quite frankly. By practicing whatever I could, even for a very short amount of time, I started to develop some more focus, which was sincerely lacking, you know.
Yeah.
As I started to see simple benefits coming to me, it started to make me feel like I should move forward more.
Mm.
For instance, as I said to you, I'd never had any coordination whatsoever. One day I caught, you know, if you're in the bath and you lose your soap, it's all slippery and you can't get hold of it again. I caught the soap in the bath. I'm like, hey, what? I managed to do something with my hand. This is amazing. You know?
Yeah. It's those little things, isn't it? Suddenly notices you can do. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, it started to naturally change my sleeping as well. I could actually get some sleep. So I started, you know, I'd go to bed at 6 o'clock in the morning a lot of times. There's no point. I just lived a vague life. Within some amount of time, I was going to bed at 12 o'clock, waking up sometimes in the night, but not the 100 or 200 times of the microwaves you'd have with fibromyalgia. So I just started to see these little things. My legs would often collapse under me because they'd just give way, especially going up and down stairs. And that stopped. I'd often drop things because my hands were so stiff and I couldn't hold them. You know, dropping pans on my foot was one of my big hobbies. And that stopped. I'm like, what? You know? And then people start to notice the change in me. I was quite a hunchback. I was like, walking around like this. I started to straighten up and people would see me in the street and go, wow, you look different, Rich. And my outlook began to change. So all of these positive things, you know, I was incredibly negative as a person at this time, you know, because my life was just, someone would bump into me in the street and say, how are you doing, Rich? And I'd like 20 minutes of a litany of all the things that were wrong with me.
I guess that would change the people around you. You started attracting different people into your life.
Yes, certainly. And then they'd go, wow, that's great. Because I'd be more interested in them, or I would have something good to say about my day. And it was all of the little things. But then as my energy levels ramped up, my coordination changed. And all of a sudden I'd be, you know, in fact, after a couple of years, someone saw me and went, Rich, I saw you from behind. I thought it was you, but I thought it can't be. Rich doesn't walk like that.
So did you start a practice of your own?
Eventually, you know, after a couple of years, I became an assistant teacher in my teacher's school.
Yeah.
And so I'd do all that traditional stuff. I'd go and sweep the floor before class and stuff. You've seen all the films. And
paint the fence.
Yeah, totally.
Paint the fence and sand the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Wax on, wax on. So anyway, I'd do all of that sort of thing, and yeah, I became an assistant teacher. I practiced teaching more because I didn't have the confidence to do any of that. I had the confidence to do that. Started with one person, then I managed to be able to teach two. But I've been already about like evangelizing and proselytizing to people about it because it was so amazing. So people who I knew would start going to Tai Chi classes when I was there and stuff. And then eventually, once I qualified as an advanced level teacher, I set out into the world to try and help as many people as I could with, what I had, because
So
it was a lot deeper than most people.
what do you
Yes.
do? Do you take do you I mean before COVID, I guess, were you doing classes and traveling around, or are you online? What do you do?
It's like a variety of things, really, Paul. I would teach classes. I've worked a lot with older people because there were people who needed it. But then I worked with martial artists. I've, worked with a few elite sports people, business owners, a variety of people, because I've got something for everyone, quite frankly. We all have bodies and we all have nervous systems and we all, have health issues. So I've got to work with various people. I had a guy came to me, Leo, who was a kid in a wheelchair. He had a terrible brain injury about 4 years previously. And he just came to one of my public classes to start with, but then he became a private student. And he was a Chinese kid. His parents brought him into the class in a wheelchair. He could stand up very, very briefly, then he'd have to get back into the chair. They'd have to do a remedial massage on him. And I couldn't understand what he said because his speech had gone. And it turned out, since his brain injury, mainly been in that wheelchair, his auntie taught Tai Chi in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So they had an idea of bringing him to a Tai Chi class, but nothing was going on for him. So we got him from somebody who had to be brought up in a wheelchair, have to do remedial massage, was unintelligible to. Yeah, 4 months, his chief physiotherapist came to see me to ask me what I'd done to help Leo to change. And since those days, he's not been in a wheelchair anymore. He worked very hard over a couple of years with me, but he's no longer in a wheelchair. He actually recorded a song because
So
he's
what
back
changed
so
for him?
much.
What did you what I mean, all right, that I mean, is that just a question of just repeating movements and breathing? And I mean, there
Yeah,
must
all of those things, as I say, Tai Chi works on a profound level with the deeper understandings of what the human body is. But I gave him his structure and his balance back and motor control. Those are some of the
But
major
is
things
but
he's
what I'm
got.
trying to get to, is this something that
Yes.
the person themselves has to come to terms with, has to identify? Is it
No, he doesn't have
So
to.
okay, if you learn, if you want to be an elite swimmer, you swim, right? So there's a question of actually getting, I mean, we can all learn to swim, but in order to do something very special with it, there is, you have to get into that zone where, the breathing and everything becomes a routine, a process where you can. And I guess the same applies to doing a marathon and running, but it's not something that's conscious. It's something that just suddenly comes into play. Is that what we're talking about here in terms of Tai Chi? You do the movements, you breathe, and then suddenly a door opens somewhere and you learn something different.
Essentially, we're saying Tai Chi. A lot of people, especially when you start to feel chi feelings in the body and the crazy ass stuff, they get caught up in all of that. But essentially, do the practice, get the results. If you do the things as you're supposed to do in this order, then you'll get to this and the door will open for you. In Leo's case, it was a case of him coming to me twice a week, training, going home and doing very specific things I set him to practice every week. And finding the determination to keep going and doing it, which is what he did, and then he got to see the results. And but he just had to do the work. Often in the West, we tend to try to intellectualize and try and
Yes.
work out, whereas you're better off doing in this case. And if you have the correct knowledge, or someone gives you the correct tools and knowledge, then those doors will open up for you, as it did in Leo's case.
So do you, I mean, obviously you healed yourself of fibromyalgia. Is that something that I mean, because I know a lot of people with fibromyalgia, but they don't do Tai Chi, and they're never recommended to do Tai Chi, if I was, from what I can tell.
No, often they're not. I mean, at one point I set out to try to get them to help people with fibromyalgia. I thought, wow, I'm poster boy for it. I've fixed myself. I've got all this evidence. Talked to all these people. So I started visiting support groups. But support groups unfortunately help people with fibromyalgia to reinforce that they're never going to get well. Like when I went to my first support group, I was like, oh, I can't do all this. I'm clavicle classes disabled. I don't like it. I don't want to be disabled. I see myself as disabled. Then the woman went, look, you can't do the things you did before. You're disabled. Get over it. We all are. You just have to live your life as a with disability. And you're just never going to be able to do it.
So. You know, the number of times I've heard that of support groups for illnesses.
Yeah.
They spend more time reinforcing the problem than finding a solution. In fact, they don't actively want a solution.
No, honestly. I think especially with fibromyalgia, because it's so pernicious and there's so many different effects to it, it seemed to be, oh, my illness is worse than yours, comparison group. But we just sit there going, oh, no, but I've got this.
That's a real sadness, actually, isn't it? It's a real sadness that people can't
I felt so because I rocked up saying, look at me, look what I can do. Look how I've changed my life. And quite frankly, the state I was in was much worse than just about anybody I ever met. But they'd say things like, no, the doctors have told me we can't get better. We're just on medication for the rest of our life, so we are. And
I think that's the medical profession worldwide. I mean, it's a lot worse in the US, obviously, than it is in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every doctor in the US is basically only gets paid for prescribing and for doing something. Uh-huh. So prevention, they're not really paid for. So to get someone to do stuff which could actually prevent something is not... You know, and the same in this country, in the UK, you know, the NHS is very much structured around symptom management rather than actually solutions for some reason. And it'd be nice if it would change.
Certainly so. I mean, I set out to try to do that and I'm like, what? Especially with fibromyalgia. I met one person out of all the support groups I visited who said, help, I'm not like these people. Please teach me some Tai Chi.
And what happened?
She gave up after a bit.
I guess it's not easy. That's the reality, isn't it?
No, it wasn't. So I had to give up on that. But I found people with many other illnesses more positive, quite frankly.
Right.
With arthritis or heart conditions and stuff. So a couple of years ago, I taught the first stroke rehabilitation study.
Right.
Well, the NHS, it was a feasibility study that I ran in conjunction with Huddersfield University. And essentially, there have been a few stroke studies done because Tai Chi, there's lots of research that says Tai Chi is really good for balance.
Okay.
Again, most research is done on people learning Park Tai Chi, the stuff you will see with just the old people moving around slowly without any of the other stuff. So I ran that for a year with my group and the control group. They were doing the NHS balance training and stuff. What happened essentially was we get them in for 12 weeks. They come to me twice a week and then they have to practice twice a day themselves. It was the first one where we were actually studying a world where we were actually taking people who just got out of hospital within a week or two who were coming to me because hundreds of millions a year with people who've had strokes falling and ending back up in hospital and all the other concomitant problems.
Yeah.
So I set out initially to see if I could improve their balance and their quality of life, because depression comes, you know, where a lot of people suffer from depression after a stroke and stuff. And it was quite amazing because my stuff worked twice as well as all the NHS stuff. And although I'd set it up to do some Qigong, do some movement, do some Tai Chi, and training to walk in a different way, so there was no momentum, so they wouldn't have that falling and they would feel very incredibly stable. So I did twice as well as the control group. No one had a fall within the year in my group, but multiple falls in the control group. No one suffered from lower mood in my group. Many people suffering from depression in the group. And it was quite something. And quite several people said, thank you for giving my life back, Rich. Because we couldn't feel the leg. We didn't feel safe to go out the house. Just couldn't step and feel where they were in space.
So why has this not been taken up further? Because it does sound like it was a good success.
Oh man, I don't know. It took over 3 years to get that study going.
Right.
Yeah. And I've no idea how long the next step would be. I've not heard anything for a while after last year, but essentially the next step.
I think a lot of these things, it takes a while to change the established pattern.
Yes, certainly. And Tai Chi's just seen as some hippies moving around slowly. But no, it you know, it worked a treat, and I changed those people's lives.
That's amazing.
A wonderful thing to be able to do. And once again, I proved the power.
So clearly, this is your life passion now.
Certainly, it has been for quite some time.
Yeah.
I'm still learning myself, because I'm going to connect with some people. Because all the stuff I have, the real high level stuff, has been kept secret from everybody.
Oh wow.
Oh yes.
So
yes,
what does this whole, okay? So give us a taste there. What does this high level stuff do? I mean, are we talking Harry Potter stuff?
Yes, just about. It sounds ridiculous, but I can prove it to people. In fact, yeah, it's kept so secret. To becoming an adult disciple of, let's say, a famous master, about 10 years ago, it was $60,000 just to be taken on.
Okay.
Just to be taken on, because right. you don't age like other people. You've got robust health throughout your life. You feel fantastic all the time. You can move in completely different ways. But yes, you can do incredibly crazy things. For instance, I can throw someone across the room with one finger. I can make people's feet. I can send people flying without moving. I can press on one finger and shear someone's feet off the floor and send them through the air.
Wow. Okay. That does sound like Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah. I can make people stick to my hand.
Okay.
I can take effect for nervous system.
Okay.
I can do all sorts of wacky things at high levels. It's quite phenomenal. When people touch me, there's a thing called pung, which is an expanding energy, let's say. So when they touch me, the feet start to float, and the feet start to peel up off the floor and just float back on the heels and toss me away. And that's just by touching any part of my body. And then you can send energy out of any part of your body. As an elite martial art, as Master Wu Tu Nan said, I can kill you with everything but my beard and my eyebrow.
Okay, well, there we are.
It's all of a great benefit. The martial arts thing's great, and kicks and punches bouncing off you, fine. But the wonderful health and the great feeling and the longevity,
why is this so elite? I mean, if this is so amazing, why is China keeping it to itself? Why aren't all why isn't everybody learning this? China could outlive the world, couldn't they?
Well, one, they want to keep it as a cultural treasure.
Yeah.
They don't want to share it with the world. But two, in China, what you had with Mao, when Mao took over, he had a thing called defanging the snakes. He didn't want any more revolutions. So he actively sought to kill or suppress all of the martial artists.
Okay.
And Tai Chi and various of the other internal arts were incredibly secret to start with.
Right.
They all left China, went to Malaysia, went to various places. And it was suppressed. For instance, one of my teachers, he studied with a guy, and the guy's granddad had been beheaded in China for practicing Chen style Tai Chi in public at that time.
Right.
It was that crazy. So you could say, I wouldn't want to broadcast this, but the higher levels of Tai Chi, which take a heck of a lot more work, you know, than the other stuff. So understanding it and being given some of the stuff, which is high level but is easier to do, can make most profound changes in people's lives, but we don't have to go to the crazy ass levels, you know?
Yes. All these things, though, it does take a discipline. It does take a daily discipline. I mean, how many hours a day do you practice?
Well, it's quite interesting. That depends. But what we aim to do is become Tai Chi, they're saying in Tai Chi is.
Okay.
So everything is it. So you're practicing Tai Chi 24/7.
Right.
Your body state changes. You run on a different engine. So it's something you work and forge to become. But, you know, I recommend that people practice for at least 40 minutes a day, really, 40, 45 minutes a day. But I practice for, a couple of hours a day on generally. And then the rest of it, I just am, you know. You're but out. When I got well, I was sometimes training 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Which is crazy, but true.
But that's the point, isn't it? I mean, we don't value our health requirements as that much. I mean, it's like, it's only when, like the astronauts on the space station, for example, they have to exercise for 2 hours a day just to keep their bones in a solid condition every single day. They're, and it's non-negotiable. They are on a treadmill for 2 hours every day. It's like we've got so used to not having to do this level of exercise or level of activity in our bodies.
And we get that terrible problem in the West of now I'm ill, now give me some tablets, for me rather than me doing something for myself.
Absolutely.
And doing it before it happens. You know, I'd rather, I know what severe long-term ill health is like, and no one wants that. Yeah,
you ain't going back there, are you?
No, I'm, absolutely not. But I know where it leads. Yet all these people blithely go into the late years going, fall apart, and it gets worse rapidly, doesn't it?
It does, I can imagine. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, so I work with business owners and various other people. I'm doing more internet stuff, of course, recently. Of course. You know, I'm working with, so I've been teaching a guy over in America, and I've given him some work to do. And he had a nerve problem in his hip, instability in one leg, and his leg was incredibly weak. And his balance was going, and he didn't actually tell me how bad it all was.
Right.
And then after 5 weeks, I got a message from the gym from him last week going, Rich, I can't believe this. This is amazing. Both legs feel as stable. My right leg feels as strong as the other one. My balance has changed. I feel fantastic. I had to send this to you right now from the gym in real time. And then he just did me a great video testimonial. See, he's done many martial arts in the past, but he can't understand how I've wrought such a profound change in his life in only 5 weeks by him doing what I've told him to do.
Amazing.
So,
I mean, I can ask you this question, but I think I know the answer to most of my questions. What does success mean to you?
Interesting.
I mean, I guess before you were 30, success meant success meant a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Exactly. Success meant not falling downstairs when I did finally go upstairs. Success meant not having stiff hands for the first 8 hours a day and being able to use them, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel I've been successful in a few areas of my life. One, as a parent, I sought to become the best dad I possibly could.
Right.
I had the best parental input, let's say. And when I became a dad, I sought to become the best dad I could. And I tried my best. There was no chance, you know. Only a few years after taking up Tai Chi, I became a dad. And I sought to be the best dad I could. No idea what I was doing. Tried my best, though. And then when my son was 7, my son Gabriel said to me, he said, Papa, you know Danny, champion of the world's dad, you know, from Roald Dahl? And I said, yes, I do. He went, you're a better dad than he is. And I'm like, what? Thank you. That's wonderful. And other people start to tell me, and I started to realize I was actually very successful as a dad. It's like my family members in America would tell me, because they only saw me with Gabe so often.
Yeah.
And then one time, because when we go over there to visit grandparents, it's like about 16 big ass houses in this community. And I know most people, but played with my son, people had seen me with my son. We were doing an Easter egg hunt, and a lady came out who I'd never met before. She said, you don't know me, but I've been watching you with your son for the past 10 years. And I'd like to tell you that I think you're the best dad I've ever seen in my life. I went, fair enough. So success to me means that I've overcome the many hurdles in the way to me achieving whatever it is. Even when there's no chance of success, I couldn't see it. When I became a dad, I couldn't see how I could become a good dad. When I was ill, there was no chance of me ever getting better. But so through illimitable difficulties, being able to just keep on trucking and strive to get through to there and seeing if you can do it, there's success. Getting through something that's so hard, something that's possibly impossible,
mm-hmm.
but striving and keeping going over protracted periods of time to make that thing work, whatever it was.
Mm.
I've been a success as a dad. I've been a success in fixing my health. And then I became a success as a teacher because everyone sees me as a great teacher. And I become a success as becoming an international level Tai Chi person.
So success, so it sounds like success is very much about achievement for you.
Yes. I feel so, not just achievement, because you could be just achieving, you know, some result on something here, but something that doesn't seem to be any chance for you to get to do that. And all these things that they really didn't. I had no idea how to become a parent. I had no idea how I could fix my health, you know. Yeah. Seeing a tiny glimmer of possibility, sticking with it till you find the real thing on the other side of it. So I suppose that.
So the next question I ask everyone, and it's very clear, contribution. How do you see your contribution to the world?
I see my contribution to the world in being able to share these wonderful arts that I've been so lucky to be a part of and to benefit from. And again, to have, because there are some high-level people, there are other high-level people who can't possibly teach the thing. They've achieved the high level, but they can't share them, nor do they want to. I fortunately, strangely, because, you know, I never had, throughout my life, with all the teachers I had, I never really found any teachers who inspired me. And I was never impressed with any of it. And I would never thought I could become a good teacher. But I've managed to do that, you know. So
It's interesting, the high-level teachers, how did they get there? Were they born into the whole process? Because, I mean, you've came to it late in life.
No, they started earlier, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Generally, the highest level ones have been born into families. Where they had dads it. And it's called in China the Iron Rice Bowl. It's a family business. So they get all the secrets. The inner door disciples get quite a lot, but not all.
The Iron Rice Bowl is a lovely phrase.
Yeah. You can't break that. So, yes, a lot of people have been fortunate, and then through connections, we're back.
We are. You went all frozen on me. The Iron Rice Bowl is unbreakable, and then you went all strange. Obviously, you were about to impart some big secret, and obviously the powers that be said no. Hello.
We'll be back.
We are.
Hello.
You're obviously about to impart some big secret, and the powers of the master said no.
You never do know. You never do know, mate. Back in the day, was of such a small percentage of people who had access to the real thing, willing to teach it and the understandings of it. And it's the same today. It's not changed.
Yeah.
The only thing that's changed, a few of us who've managed to get further along. You know, for instance, I've managed to get so far along. This is unbelievable, but my original teacher, who's very well respected, actually started coming to me for lessons because I'd managed to get some things that he didn't know.
Oh, wow. That's nice. So the pupil becomes the master. Oh, very.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Because he knew me back then, and he says, Rich went, I remember Rich from struggling with his illness, and now he's managed to unlock some of the deeper secrets of Tai Chi. I'm like, wow, how kind.
That's amazing. It's an amazing story. So look, what is the one question you want people to ask you?
Was it worth it?
Was it worth it, Rick?
It really, really, really was. I don't get ill anymore. I'm not ill anymore.
Yeah.
I feel wonderful most of the time internally. You know, you just feel better. It's hard to describe, but you feel wonderful. Once you start to understand, developing interoception as well, you feel inside of a body more. There are very interesting things you can start to understand and feel there. It's just, you know, everyone goes, oh, wow, what, you know, was it worth it? Yes, it was. You know, I went to my doctors some little time ago because I damaged a tendon from overtraining in the wrong shoes. I'd been doing Bagua, which is a different martial art.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined them at the practice, not been for 15 years. And the doctor said to me, what's wrong with you? You never come to the doctors.
It's funny you say that. It's about the awareness, isn't it? Because, I mean, I noticed from doing yoga and working out over the last few years that I've become very internally aware of my body.
Mm.
And so last year, I actually did have a bit of a problem on my left side of my body.
Yeah.
And it was particularly nasty when I was breathing. I noticed it was, and because when you go and look at Dr. Google, you realize that there's quite a lot of things on that side of the body that actually, if you've got a problem there, you need to sort them out. Things like pancreas and all sorts of bits and pieces. So I rang the doctor and got an appointment. And so we had a conversation. She said, I love talking to people like you because you are very body aware because of what you do. She said, so it's really important that we talk to you because you know what's going on. And so anyway, what I had done, basically, I bruised the muscle. I damaged the muscle between my lung and my rib cage.
Ah, yes.
And it was poking into the lung, basically.
Whoa,
and
then
it's
right.
And it's called the pleura. And she said, that's why you get pleura C. But it was really interesting to have this conversation. Like she said, all you've done is just pulled a muscle in there somewhere and it's just swollen a bit. And that's why it's hurting when you're breathing. But it's like, it was really fascinating to have this conversation, you know. And she said, "And she said, now, what else did Dr. Google tell you that we need to discuss?" Yes, all those things are there, and I don't think any of them are a problem. Come back to
you.
It was interesting, wasn't it? It was funny.
Yeah, it's so hard to do. Yes, when you get to my level and stuff, you can start to feel, because, you know, the Chinese methodology and understanding is that we get the thing called qi, let's say, which people see as energy, but you get two types, prenatal and postnatal qi. You get all the energy from the universe, from your parents when you're born. Then we have to get energy from breathing, exercising, food, etc.
Yeah.
And all of that, as you can see, as people get older, it declines and become more fragile, more brittle, less energy.
Yeah.
Our practice is to rebuild what we're lacking so you have a reserve of it.
Right.
It's like Master Benjamin Pangjin Lo said, I take pain now so I don't have to suffer it in old age. we rebuild it, but then you can start to feel it. You can start to feel the energetic flows inside of your body and many, many, many other things.
So how do people, I mean, there's two questions here. How do people get in touch with you and work with you? And if working with you is not really feasible, how do they do this? What's the first steps?
To get in touch with me, people can either contact me on Facebook, which is always a good place to find me, Rich Morley, my website, richmorley.com.
Right.
Which I'm just rebuilding in this week or so, funnily enough, because my previous one was all Tai Chi based and it was on Wix, which is a terrible platform. So that's getting changed up. So people can find me on my website, richmorley.com.
Are you on other platforms too?
Not really, just Facebook and there at the moment, really.
Okay.
So and if they want to get in touch with me, ask any questions, get in touch on Facebook or Messenger or something like that. They want to work with me, I'd advise asking me some questions first and we have a chat of working around it. So I do a variety of things also. I help people with the breathing. There's different levels to the stuff I do nowadays rather than the straight up Tai Chi stuff. So I really like teaching people better breathing because it can help you to deal with anxiety or stress very quickly. Most people aren't breathing well anyway. You know, Qigong and Tai Chi have got big components of breathing. But there are lots of different breathing techniques you can use to calm your sympathetic nervous system down rapidly, get very reduce the amount of stress chemicals in your body, because people don't realize your diaphragm sends signals to your brain to give you information, your brain information about the state you're in. So most people's breathing, as they become more anxious, it's just keeping them in that perpetual state of stress and tension because the brain's just releasing cortisol and noradrenaline and stuff into your system.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying teaching that quite a bit because that's a really quick in to helping people. Plus, you can use it to ramp your energy up really, really quickly if you need to have a lull in it and stuff, which is really helpful. The long-term practice develops and builds everything up, but then there's that as well. So I'm enjoying that. So people just don't come to me just for that, are they? Some people are coming to me because they just have difficulties from the laptop lifestyle now. Getting shortening their hip flexors, they're getting back pain, sitting down all the time, terrible for you.
Yeah.
So I'm improving people's flexibility and mobility as well with specific exercises which target all the problems. So I'm helping people in different ways nowadays as I've not been doing what I was doing.
Well, I guess, yes, the past year you've had to do more remote stuff than you could previously. Yeah.
And it's easier with stuff like that than it is with some of the deeper level stuff.
So for my, you know, for people who are interested in Tai Chi or interested in learning more about this, and, you know, and maybe you're not the person for them, how do they do this? How do they find the right master rather than ending up with someone that does, you know, shapes in the park?
Yeah, this is the thing. It's very, very difficult indeed. There are only a small amount of us around. If we're in the UK, what you can do, people can do is go on the Tai Chi Union for Great Britain's website, and that lists all the Tai Chi instructors who are members of it.
Okay.
So the grading levels are, there's intermediate, advanced and senior level now.
Okay.
So if they're in, I say if they're in the UK, I would recommend searching out an advanced level teacher at least, but a senior level one preferably, because they're more likely to have the goods.
Right.
You know, a lot of people talk a lot of nice talk and wear some fancy robes and have some pictured dragons on the walls, but they can't really help, you know, they can't give you the profound health benefits that some of the...
Is there a world kind of thing on this one? Is there any in other...
Yeah, I think there's a, there is some sort of association in America, but I'm not sure what it is, you know. I usually teach over in America like once a year.
Right.
I haven't done last year, but for small groups of people who come to train with me, mainly in Massachusetts.
Right.
But yeah, if they have a look, I think there is an American Federation of Tai Chi and Qigong or some sort of name like that, but I'm not quite sure what it was.
Okay.
And that will list people also, but you know, look into their background.
Okay, so what we'll do, the links for Rich will be on the website Life, Passion and Business. And if we can find any of those other international links, I think this is quite important to give people the right information here.
Yeah, there is a European Qigong and Tai Chi Union Federation thing as well, I think. So
okay, we'll find those links and we'll put them on the webpage there as well. Because I think it's quite important for people to understand, to find the right people.
Certainly.
Yeah. So look, Rich, I ask everyone this question. The final question I ask everybody on this podcast is, what is the meaning of life for you?
That's interesting. The meaning of life for me is love. Underlying everything, I have a deep spiritual understanding that underlying everything is love. That is the meaning of life. Finding your way back to the way. Mm-hmm. There are many spiritual traditions who all talk about the same stuff. And I've had these understandings myself within myself, because religions, most religions just some sort of tool of control and things over the years. You don't need anybody for that. But yes, meaning of life is love and finding your way back to your true self.
That's wonderful. Rich Morley, thank you so much today for sharing your wisdom around Tai Chi, because it's been fascinating to hear it and to explore the journey with you. So thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you very much for having me on.
All the best.
All right, mate. Cheers.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Rich Morley. If you'd like to connect with Rich, you can find him on Facebook or at his website, richmorley.com. As mentioned in the show, if you want more information about Tai Chi or want to find a local instructor, do check out the taichiunion.com. There's also an International Medical Tai Chi and Qigong Association. So both of those organisations could help you find the appropriate teacher. All of those links are available at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. And while you're there, do check out the resources tab, because there are loads of supportive material to help you on your journey. That's it for this week. So thank you so much for being here on this journey with me. If you've enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoy any podcast, please support your content creators by sharing, liking, and even better, leaving a review. Because if you support this ecosystem, it helps people like you find good podcasts. That's it from me. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I'll catch you next time. All the best.